Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours. The live music scene is alive and well on Hilton Head Island and in Bluffton. We have a guy with us in the studio today who doesn't need much of an introduction in our music world. John Cranford is one of the founding members of popular local band Cranford Hollow. We talked about why the music scene is vital locally, and he gives us a sneak preview into their new album, Songs from Big Thunder. So tell me a little bit, John, about how did Cranford Hollow get started? Such a popular band. People love, kind of a cult following for Cranford Hollow. How did it all get started?
I moved down here in 2009 and immediately jumped headfirst into the music scene. And through that, I met Eric Reed, who played fiddle, still does. And him and I had sort of a thing with the vocals and the style of songs I was writing. And it worked very well. Then we met up with Phil Sermons, who's our bass player and sort of the co-writer in the band, and Randy Roccolotta, our drummer. And it was just a really good mesh of different styles. We all have different backgrounds. But I think the biggest importance is there was a lot of brotherhood and a lot of good work ethic. And that's really all it takes in Hilton Head. You just have to work hard.
Yeah.
And if you're not, afraid of playing every single day and maybe spending your off days writing tunes or spending a little time in a studio, I think that's really all it is. There's no crazy secret to success other than hard work and writing songs with your buddies.
Have you always been into music? When did that start for you,
John? I started piano lessons when I was a kid. Mom made me take the piano lessons, which I'm very grateful for now. I was
not so much
not
at the moment, probably,
too happy about it when I was a kid. But the biggest thing, we had a great, just like Hilton Head, we had a really established jazz band in my hometown of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And through our jazz program and the music program in general in the public schools, we were able to do some really incredible things, both across the Midwest and then our top. I was not in this band, but our top jazz band went to the Essentially Ellington competition in Lincoln Center in New York City with Wynton Marsalis. And we just had a lot of inspiration. And then we had a very strong music scene in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And now there's, lots of national bigger bands that are coming out of that town and the Eau Claire, Minneapolis area. So it's been ingrained, but it was not my first profession. I was a hospitality. I was a food and beverage person for a long time. I was the chef or the head cook down at the Harbortown Grill before they tore that all down underneath Chef Mike Ramey and those guys. Uh-huh. And that's why I initially moved down here, was to be a chef.
Speaking of inspiration, who are your musical inspirations? Who inspires you?
Well, I always like to talk about John Prine. Everybody probably sick of me talking about John Prine, but I just think he's probably the greatest songwriter of our time or of our generation. But my musical inspiration is super diverse, especially these days. It's almost like I intentionally go out to try and find things that are very different. I'm super into this guy from Germany right now called Heinbach, and he's kind of like an ambient noise performer, and he uses old vintage analog equipment to make these really pretty sounds. I'm into this guy right now called Alessandro Cortini. He's the keyboardist for the Nine Inch Nails, and then just across the board, I like anybody with a good song, I think is worth taking a listen to.
It's interesting to me how much the music industry has changed over the year, how artists now with social media and all the ways to get your music out there that were never there before. It seems like a whole different playing field these days.
It's good and bad. I think that for the general population, the ability to, be able to record a song on your phone now and immediately upload that to a streaming platform like Spotify or iTunes, that's incredible. And that accessibility has made a lot more music happen. But on the other side of the coin, it's sort of like, man, there is so much more music now. So as a young person starting up or trying to gain some notoriety, to be able to get above all of the other noise, it's a difficult thing. But I really think it's amazing how accessible music is now. And I remember being, you know, my young teenage years, really starting to get into records and really starting to try and figure out who's on what record, and maybe they've recorded with another band or another musician, and you'd have to go to the record store or buy a magazine or ask your buddy that is knowledgeable in music. You know, now you can go on iTunes or Spotify and check out all these playlists and other suggested artists and look anything up on Wikipedia, and it's instantly there right in your hand. So it's really, really cool. But I do miss some of the hunting, per se, that we used to have to do 25 years ago.
We talk to visitors a lot here, as you can imagine, and they are often just blown away by the live music scene we have here. It's pretty incredible when you think about it, when you think about how many places that you can go and just hear phenomenal live music. How do you think our live music scene has changed over the years? What do you think are some of the best things about that? If you had to describe it, how would you do that?
Well, the biggest thing, the biggest credit that needs to be given is to all the restaurant and bar owners and the town of Hilton Head that's really supported us. It's sort of been a 10 or 15 year journey to get to where we are now. And there's always been great music in Hilton Head for, you know, the past 40 years. Starting way back when, you know, the old post office or the Simpson Brothers or the Moondahs, some of these guys that have been playing around here forever. So they really started to lay the groundwork for us. And then I think since like 2010, 2011, when I started to get really involved, there's just been so many very talented folks either deciding to make this their full-time profession and maybe stepping away from another career, or a lot of folks coming here specifically to play music or to be part of this music scene. And I think the biggest reward or accolade that we've received in the past few years, and I can't remember which magazine, it was a travel magazine or a financial magazine, had listed us as the number 7 place to be a working musician in the U.S., and I think, you know, with cities like Nashville or New York or L.A. or Atlanta, to be even in the top 10 is something we're very proud of.
Yeah, that's saying something. That is definitely, we send out every week, we have a communication we send out to our community that has a button on it that says live music. Click here to find out what live music is happening on Hilton Head Island. And people click on it like crazy. They want to know what's out there. They want to know where they can go. I think there's something so special about that. And I think it's really neat how, let's talk about what's gotten folded in with the town's 360-40 celebration. Wow, has that a musical powerhouse lineup coming up on that? Tell us how you got involved and what's going on with that.
I started working with the town pretty closely, like right before COVID, 2018, 2019. Jen McEwen was at that time the director of Office of Cultural Affairs. Mm-hmm. And now obviously Natalie Harvey is in that position. And both of those women have just done an exceptional job of really making music a part of that celebration. And a diversified lineup this year, I think, is probably the best well-rounded lineup of anything I've seen. Everything from hip hop to jazz to rock to folk to orchestral stuff. There's a great Latin group as well. And I think this year, out of all the years, the lineup is absolutely incredible. And big shout out to Caitlin Lee for putting that lineup together and really working hard to find the best match of everybody for that lineup.
I think it's interesting, too. There's also an emphasis that I'm seeing come through on songwriters. You know what? There's so much that goes into that. We just hear the finished product, but I think it's so interesting to go back to the roots of who wrote the song and why they wrote it.
That's sort of my flag that I fly very high. That's something that I started Swampfire Records in 2010 down here. We have a studio. We've put out 24 releases, both compilations, full band records. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would like to see be expanded on as we move forward. I'm not a huge cover fan, and I play covers, and there's nothing wrong with covers, and there's nothing wrong with anybody else playing covers. But I think to really put our name on the map, to really be a force to be reckoned with as far as a music scene, you have to have a large number of bands writing original music or songwriters. And the economy of the music system right now in Hilton Head is very successful. It's fantastic. There's guys and gals paying their mortgages, feeding their families, playing music. And I think that's fantastic. But what I would like to see more of is people taking the time to write some tunes, maybe just one or two tunes a year, or as much, you know, I know we don't have a lot of free time when you're playing 5-6 nights a week in the summer. And the last thing you probably want to do is like go home at the end of the night and pick up your guitar or your piano and write or play more music. But that to me really puts a scene together, and a bunch of people playing other people's music is more of an entertainment scene. And I would really like to see this turn into more of a songwriter scene. And we've sort of solidified that coming up here in September. We have the first annual Hilton Head Island Jam, which I'm involved with BMI, which is a publishing agency out of Nashville. David Preston from BMI is putting this together with the help of the town. And Reed and Alan Perry are very active and supportive of this. We appreciate them. And obviously Natalie at Office Cultural Affairs. So this is sort of the solidification of all the, well, you got to write your own songs. I've been hollering at everybody for the past 10 years. So we're very excited to bring down 25 Nashville songwriters and have about a dozen of our local songwriters all intermingled for a big 4 or 5 day songwriter jam, September 14th through the 17th, 18th. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of songwriting, you've been doing a little songwriting of your own. You guys have a new album coming out. Tell us about it.
So Cranford Hollow went up to Zirconia, North Carolina. We rented a big A-frame cabin up at the top of a small mountain in early January and sort of locked ourselves in there for about a week. And that's sort of how we like to make records. We did our last two out in Studio in the Clouds in Telluride, Colorado. And being very focused and away from distractions is always a great way to write. So we spent about a week up there and then brought everything back to my studio here and worked on it for another 3 or 4 months with our dear friend and brother and great producer, Will Snyder. Will is from Hilton Head originally, or he kind of grew up here. His formidable years were spent here. And Will is just one of the most talented guys I've ever met as a musician, as a producer, as a writer, and just super positive, really keeps the energy in the room happy all the time. So we were super fortunate to work with Will while he was here. He was sort of here helping his folks out a little bit and taking some time off from LA, which can be a crazy, crazy place. And while he was here, not only did we finish up the Cranford Hollow record, but I got to do 3 tunes for a solo EP that I was very excited about and was very different than anything I'd ever done before. It was very sort of pop focused. And I think that sometimes it's super important to branch out of your norm and try something new. And it really helps when you have a good producer like Will to encourage that. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. And that new Cranford Hollow record out will be out. We're thinking Thanksgiving weekend in November. We're going to do a big release show and some different things through a Kickstarter campaign and some music videos and some additional content. And then my solo record came out in late March. And so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I love making records. My wife was laughing at me the other day because we were talking about the whatever it was, $1.8 billion lottery. And I think if I got very, very wealthy, that's all I'd do. I just make records and play a few shows, but I prefer making records over playing live any day.
Here's an exclusive listen to the track Breakdown from Cranford Hollow's new album, Songs from Big Thunder, coming out this November. Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our 5 Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.